Hey, what's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network, coming at you 3 days a week with all the fresh Clippers news.
Oh, yeah.
Things are going to be ramping up soon, so we'll be back to 5 days a week. But today, we're joined by a very special guest, ladies and gentlemen.
What's up, everybody? I wasn't sure if you were going to say my name or if I was just going to like hop in with that. But
it's turned into a recurring thing now where I just do a pause and no one is sure if they're supposed to jump in. And I love it. I love it.
We are joined by Hoops and Brews own TPJ.
What's up? I'm the other half of Hoops and Brews. I'm the other, as I've been told, infamous loudmouth.
Oh, wow.
But whatever. At least you know me. You cannot know me.
Thank you so much for being on the show. We miss seeing you and Pavi at Clippers games. Everything is crazy right now. Too. Yeah, it's nice to have kind of a bit of normalcy right now. But Will, what are we talking about today?
So we got a Twitter Tuesday for y'all. We sent out you guys sent in some questions on Twitter. If you'd like your opportunity to get your question featured on Locked On Clips, go ahead and send those questions over to at Locked On Clips, at Charles Mockler, at Will Updike.
Oh,
thank
yeah.
you to everybody who sent stuff in ahead of time. We're going to be talking a little bit more about Zoo. If you guys listened to the last episode with Hoops and Brews, Pappy had his thoughts for Zoo, which
high ceiling,
which are copycat of my thoughts for Zoo. But it's okay. It's okay.
So we'll be talking some more about that. We're going to be talking a little bit about the practice situation currently. And then also the hypothetical, how we're going to celebrate if the Clips end up with the chip. And then we've got Doc had some excellent comments in a Bill Plaschke piece.
It's good.
About kind of everything that's going on. We're going to talk about
that's
that.
That's a fantastic talk.
I love Doc Rivers, by the way, so there's no disrespect. I genuinely love him. Legitimately love him like an uncle.
That's such a great impression, too.
He treats everyone like a nephew, so it's perfect.
And then we're going to be wrapping up with some shavings. We got Paul George on his thoughts on playing with MJ, and then some more news on the possible reemergence.
We know when it's going to end.
Of the NBA, yeah, and when it will end. And kind of when it will start. And then there's some shocking Kings news. So all that and more coming up right about now.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much to people who sent in questions for Twitter Tuesdays. We appreciate it. Just want to give just quick. This is my Twitter Tuesday question to everyone on this pod right now. Just how's everyone doing? LA's a little tense right now. Is everyone doing all right? TPJ, you live downtown.
Yeah, you're close.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm good. It's a tough time to be a black person. Obviously, the murder and the injustice that we witnessed within itself is something that is egregious. But I also think that kind of America's response to it, while I think for the majority of the part has been overwhelmingly great, mm-hmm. I think that if you're an African-American person, you're really kind of looking at the government and thinking, all right, you guys really just don't care about people's civility mm-hmm. and people's equality. And the thing that I keep telling all of my friends that are not black, and whether they're white, you know, Filipino, Asian, Hispanic, Japanese, Korean, German, Jewish, whatever. Actually, I shouldn't have said that back to back, but I meant nothing offensive at all by that.
I don't think anyone will take it like that.
Naming things.
I think you're good.
But I just think everyone, we are looked at as the country that is a free country, or at least that is what we are, you know, what the bill of goods that we've been sold.
That's what we beat our chest about.
Yeah, that's what we beat our chest on. Freedom, America. We're all even. We're better than those people over there. We're more civilized than those people over there. Those people over there are animals. And then we in turn, act and react like animals, in an animalistic, sense. And I think that the best part about living in America was the right for you to have the ability to peacefully assemble.
Those were good times.
And if you're black, I'm used to seeing black people get their ass whipped at protests. It's been happening since the day we first stood up on a plantation as a group and said no. And God knows what happened that day, but we kept doing it because we needed to, continue to fight for our civil rights. But I, like I say to everybody, it's like, it's not just about black people at this point in time, because when I'm looking at these protests, I'm seeing white people get shot with rubber bullets and tased and tear gassed. I'm seeing Asian people. I'm seeing Hispanic people. I'm seeing Mexicans. I'm seeing all different walks of life, colors, creed. I'm seeing witches out there. There's goddamn witches out there.
Made up things out there getting hit with rubber bullets.
It's literal witches. The damn Amish.
Yeah, they're, man, when you bring them out, you've done something horribly wrong.
They can't even hear this right now because they don't believe in radio. But somehow the Amish can see what has happened and look at it and say that this is wrong and that this is an injustice. And to me, it's also bigger than just like the protests. If you would arrest, not even convict, because obviously I still expect for America, the system itself, to act as the normal American system does when it comes to a trial and someone having
the situation,
you know, a jury. Now, how quickly that trial is remains to be seen upon whoever, whatever. But I believe every American has their right to a proper trial. So are these guys murderers? Yes, they are murderers. I saw it on video with my own two eyes.
Yeah.
I didn't need to. There is no jury that can tell me about what I saw with my own two eyes with zero obstruction. And I saw it from numerous angles, and it looked plotted. It looked very meticulous, and it looked as though they were trying to do something that was outside of the boundaries of being police officers. And
absolutely.
To me, if I was to step on the foot of another black man's neck or kneel on the foot of another black man's neck, and my friends were to join me and kneel on the foot of another black man's neck, and my other friend is just standing there and he's watching, and then someone records it, and you see me on the news, immediately you're going to say all of them need to be immediately arrested and brought to justice.
Mm-hmm.
There is no differentiation in between what we saw and what would happen in any other normal circumstance with any other normal human being and how egregious and grotesque it was. So if police officers around the United States themselves can say that this was an act that was out of bounds, then this should not be, there shouldn't be a question as to if all four of them should be indicted. And it should also let you know something that the new president is trying to, or the current president, it would rather arrest thousands of people and tear gas thousands of people, brutalize thousands of people, rather than to arrest four murderers.
There's tanks in Hollywood right now. We're all talking about how there's sirens outside. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. So, I'm going to leave it at that. But when you think about that from a larger context, I know we love basketball, but this is an honest, like, tipping and turning point for America, because who the hell knows if we're going to see basketball if things keep getting worse?
Fair point.
Because we've seen countries many a times on the brink of collapse. And I'm not saying that we are, because we have one of the most powerful militaries in the world. So it's going to be really hard to mess with us around the world.
Yeah.
But also we're not going to harm each other unless we literally break out in an all out civil war. And then even at that point in time, American troops themselves will have to choose which side they're on. So,
but Will, how you doing?
So I'm fine. But at the same time, as a black person, these are all of the things that are constantly going through my mind as I constantly hear police sirens
all day, every day,
as well as going to the protests and seeing what looked like a small militia for a group of people that when I was there, we were very peaceful. Mm-hmm. And even when I, was watching the news that night, everyone that came from the protests that I was at was all peaceful, and the news didn't show anyone doing anything illegal or that they shouldn't have been doing in that area at that point in time. So I think that a lot of it is getting overshadowed. So as a black person, I'm frustrated, but I'm also hopeful, because this hasn't happened, I don't think, really in 60 years in terms of the length. Even when Dr. King was shot, the country rioted for, I believe, 6 days. For 6 days. We're already at, I believe, day 7 or day 8 at this point in time. And it doesn't look like it's going to get any better, especially because
there's so much
how inflammatory everything has been. So I'm okay. And if you're black and you're listening to this, you have every right to be stressed out, but just know that everything will be okay and we're going to work it out. And there are more people that don't look like us now than ever walking with us. And that is the biggest asset that we've ever had as a people when it comes to fighting for civility and our rights. And I'm sorry, but I'll leave that there.
No, don't apologize. I mean, like, I don't have anything as like poignant or eloquent to say, but I'm doing well. I feel like I'm presently surprised. Like, I'm very surprised in a positive way about just how people have conducted themselves for the most part, like through this stuff. I think that like it's just strengthened this idea to me of like the community of Los Angeles. And I think that it's in like, I know that this is a basketball podcast, but I think that an issue like this is inseparable from subject matter like this. And I will say that, yeah, I agree with TPJ. I think that it's been cool to see a lot of people like marching together and coming together in a way that is, I mean, pretty beautiful to me. So I'm doing all right.
All right, doing all right. That's fair. I think that is fair. Yeah, it's nice to try and we delayed a couple episodes, so it's nice to get back to try and talk about something we all kind of used to be able to escape to, but can't anymore. We have some questions from listeners. At NBA is best for asks how important Zubat's mid-range shot can be, and can Doc trust Zoo? Patty was on this podcast last week. He said that Zoo's best possible form is Mark Gasol. Is the highest praise I've truly ever heard for Zubats. Do you think his mid-range shot's going to be important?
When I look at, I think it depends on the team he's on. I don't know if he's going to be on this team next year. And that is the issue, because he doesn't get the repetition that he needs overall to be able to consistently put up mid-range shots. Usually when he takes a mid-range shot is sometime when Pat Bev or Lou Will can't get up a shot and they kind of throw him the ball in the
last
middle.
Rather than him
trying to make a move, he just will pull up for a mid-range. And more times than not, I've seen him make them. Every time he shoots a mid-range shot, he's clanking them. Personally, I honestly can't even really remember Zubac missing any mid-range shots. I feel like most of my recollections are usually of him in a blue jersey, and he's usually making those shots. And it's usually from the top of the key. And if you can be a solid, free throw shooter as well as a solid shooter from the top of the key, you can fare well in this league as a big man, and you can last. I just think it's a matter of him becoming more dominant, but also getting more possessions, because when you look at the amount of possessions he gets, he utilizes those very, very well. But also on his part, he's still young and he's not disciplined as a defender. And once he becomes disciplined as a defender, then he'll be allowed to get more minutes, because he's not as potent as Trez is on offense, but he rebounds better to me.
For
and
sure.
He's better in the paint absolutely. All around to me. In terms of just like in terms of purely what you need from a big man, but
his finishing for me is a little suspect still.
But he's still young. But Trez is a guy that is good all around on offense, and he can handle the ball. So, and he can also, if he wants to, go out and give you 10 to 12 rebounds. It might not be every night, but he can give it to you once in a while. Versus Zubac, you have to worry about him being on the floor and getting in foul trouble. I don't worry about Trez getting in foul trouble. Honestly, when Trez gets in foul trouble, I get angry at him. But I can't get angry at Zubac for getting in foul trouble, because every game he's in foul trouble. And I'm like, Zubac, you're in foul trouble. So if he can learn to stop fouling and he can extend his mid-range a little bit further, I think like a foot or so further to the point where he's almost at the three-point range.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be three-point
range. I've seen him in practice many a times shoot threes. So he can shoot threes.
Is there.
He can shoot threes. He's not going to cash them every time, but he can shoot them probably at a clip lower than Aaron Baines.
Yeah.
Or like he can shoot it like a Daniel. Fair. He can shoot like a Daniel Tice from what I've seen in practice, but he's not going to get those opportunities unless he's able to make them in the long. Like the reason why LaMarcus gets the opportunity to take threes and take all those shots is because he can literally hit a shot from anywhere on the floor, within 28 feet.
For sure.
Zubac is only at like 16, 17 feet. and he gets in a bunch of foul trouble. So you can't leave him on the floor because he also can't play no damn defense. So I think that the only way his mid-range shooting will get better is if he is playing on a team that's going to let him get repetitions. But he's not going to get repetitions on his team if he doesn't play defense, which is like really the crux of all of it.
So I think that Zoo is a solid defender, just depending on the matchup and the coverage. If it's like something smaller and more switchy, he's obviously going to struggle. He's a big dude. Laterally, I don't think that he's that
not his thing. Still.
But there are some upsides, and like at the rim, there are some numbers that would indicate that he's a solid defender. Sometimes even more so, probably, than it looks. But I don't know. I would be surprised if he wasn't on this team just because of with the cap going down and where our contracts are kind of heavy. Top end loaded. I just don't really know if we could make a trade with Zoo that would net any sort of improvement at the five.
I agree. I think I agree with that. I think
it depends on the five.
Starting role. If it's going to be, if we're going to keep Trez like with this, like, 25 minutes in a row thing, then I think keeping Zoo makes sense. Like, he can be like the starter, like the Gortat start. We got to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk more Zoo right after this. We have to give a quick shout out to Built Bar. So the thing is, I don't eat healthy at all. I think Will can attest to that. It's hard if you don't want to. Built Bar makes it easy, mostly because the Built Bars taste good.
They do.
They have 16 amazing flavors, 8 chocolate and nut. 8 chocolate and nut free for people out there who cannot handle and nuts, of course. If you want to get deals on things like, brownie flavored, 20 grams of protein, 170 calories, 3 grams of sugar, 3 grams net carbs, you need to go to builtbar.com, go straight to the website. If someone says builtbar.gov, that is a government scam. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, all capital letters and one word. You'll get $10 off your first order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com.
All right.
TPJ, you had something you wanted to add about Zoo's role on a certain team.
I did. I forgot it. I was
fair.
Too busy paying attention to you talk about Built Bar.
You got to check out their
website. It's a phenomenal product. You should check it out at builtbar.com.
It is, and I will.
I think Zoo... they talk about Zoo's passing. They talked about that for like 3 months, and then that kind of just went away. They never really explored that any further.
Well, that's why it's funny. I thought that Pavi brought up the Mark Gasol comment. Like, I don't see Zoo ever having that type of eye for the floor from a passing perspective. But I mean, I would love to be pleasantly surprised.
If he could average more than 3 assists, it'd be great.
I'll put it this way. This is why literally everything that I said for Zoo depends on how much he'll play, and it depends on his defense, right? His defensive rating this year is a 104, which is the best that it's ever been in his entire career. His offensive rating when on the floor per 100 possessions is 132. His defensive rating is 104, which is the best it's ever been in his career. But when you go down and you actually look at what's happening on the floor, and when you look at his play-by-play stats, right, he's had this year 103 shooting fouls committed and 14 offensive fouls committed. He's drawn 64 fouls, which is great.
Yeah.
But literally, he's committed 103 fouls through 64 games.
He's not playing that much.
No,
that's
listen.
Rough.
Last year, he had 83 fouls in 59 games.
Damn.
He has 103 fouls this year through 64 games. He has to learn how to stop fouling because he can't stay on the floor. The defensive numbers look good, but that don't really tell a whole story because he's literally fouling all the time. So if you dock, I can try to leave you on the floor for a whole quarter in a row, but you got 2 fouls, man. But you got 3 fouls, man. But
and
you
they
got
come 4 in bunches.
Fouls, man. Yeah,
sometimes it'll be three in a single quarter. In 2 minutes of a quarter. I'm glad that you brought this up because I feel like
Sonic with the rings. Like, you know how he runs and you see him run. If Zoo's doing good, you're like, all right, I'm on a straightaway, I'm going.
Yeah.
And then you see the rings and that's the fast for Zoo. And he goes, it racks him up. And then Doc is like, nope, sup.
Yep, you're done. Trez played 25 minutes in a row.
So if he can stop fouling, he'll get a lot of time next year and he'll be great and he'll take a lot of mid-range shots. But if he can't stop fouling, they're going to get rid of that man.
Not concerned with being politically correct Twitter user at Lil COVID with a K, if you'd like to follow them or suggest something about how they're living their life.
Wonders got the best names ever.
I can't believe they got that. Wonders how practice is holding up. I can't imagine, given also everything else happening outside in Los Angeles as we're recording this podcast, that there's a whole bunch of practice facility action right now from the club.
No, nobody's back to practice.
Like it's got to be...
I don't think home court stuff.
Yeah, like I don't think any of that is happening at all.
Not a chance.
Yeah, because I know Trez is here. I think everyone's back. Per Instagrams and whatnot, Ben was wearing that.
Pat's definitely back.
They're shooting off fireworks in my neighborhood. That's a good time. Twitter user at Elliot4143712, not as good of a username as Lil COVID, asks, "How would you celebrate if we win the chip?" And then LAC Super Fan Club, I think, has a deeper question. If the Clippers do win, could they repeat without Trez next year?
So I guess the first question, how do you celebrate if we win the chip? I'm assuming the worst and that we're not going to be able to have any sort of parade or celebration.
Okay.
So I'm probably firing up the Zoom, or I'll have Chuck host it because he pays for premium, with everybody in this chat and some other folks that we've featured on here. And I'm gonna buy probably the most expensive bottle of scotch that they sell at my local liquor store and drink it
$35
without a glass.
That's a good call.
Okay.
TBJ, are you going to celebrate if the Clippers win? Because you're not necessarily that big of a Clippers fan.
It depends on if Kawhi answers my question and I get a chance. Dead ass. It depends on if they get
that's fair. That makes total sense.
If they give us the opportunity, if they give my black ass a chance to get back in them damn games again, which I'm hoping and praying, especially with all this shit going on in NBA, y'all better be looking out.
You got to reach out to Celeste.
But, you just definitely broke my concentration. I'm sorry.
Yeah, everything's okay.
I think they can. It depends on Paul George, but it also depends on how many games the next NBA season is. Because I think the next NBA season, I think if they plan on wrapping it by October 12th, that basically means they're going to give them essentially until February off, and then they're going to start them probably at the end of February. Or at the end of January, so that way they don't completely compete with football, or have them start at Christmas Day, which is
perfectly understandable. I think they might start Christmas.
Yeah. Christmas Day is fine, but then that means you got a 64-game schedule. So if Paul George plays 58 of those games, then great. But if he's only going to play 32 of them, then no, they're not going to be fine next year, which is also why I said they might trade Zubac, because I think that a lot of their extra guys – but also I think he's got a tradable contract, but also he's an asset. Like a bad team could use him.
Yeah,
it's just the problem is that they're
getting mid-range shots.
They're just a good team, and they don't really have that much use for him because he fouls too much.
Yeah,
but a bad team can use him, and he'll be great for them.
Moving on, we're going to be talking Doc's comments in the Bill Plaschke piece that was Times titled "Black Athletes Are Adored." Hyphen when they're in uniform, kind of outlining the issue of people being surprised and against when black athletes speak out about racial inequality.
But first,
we got to do this and then we got to do that for the last segment. We messed the timing up on the ads, but that's all good. So Doc, we kind of discussed this a little bit before we recorded. Doc's place in the pantheon of like social justice aware coaches speaking out. It's like, Kerr is like the Twitter coach for like speaking out against stuff. And Pop is the say something eloquent and have it written about you. And it's very nice. Doc has to do all of the kind of talking like this and quotes like this for the LA Times stuff. I just that's up for discussion. It's crazy. It's really only those three coaches right now.
Well, Dwayne Casey's out there too.
That's true. But these are the most prominent, like, you know, in terms of like team ability, team prominence, like it's big.
Yeah. I don't know. TBJ, how do you feel about like the political outspokenness of like Kerr and Popovich and Doc for that matter?
Look, I agree with him in terms of, you know, it all being the same with black athletes and, you know, people loving them wearing, you know, the uniform, because the uniform for them is the equivalent of, and I'm sorry, because this is going to sound like, I don't mean to sound like mad, like anti, like white people when I say some of this stuff, but I'm just, I'm just going to be honest with y'all as like a black person. Like, like even us, because we do the same shit with our heroes. That's why, like, we love like entertainers and musicians. That's why we all do, because they're all like superheroes. But specifically with black athletes, white people love black athletes, but they don't like black people in terms of the ones that look at athletes and say, shut up and dribble, or things of that sort. Not saying all white people, but the ones that say, shut up and dribble. Because how can you tell me to shut up and dribble when I'm a human being and I have the same human rights as you, and you utilize your human rights to vocalize your privileges and your viewpoints and your assertions and the things that you enjoy about your community and what you love. You celebrate me because you enjoy the feeling that I give you because of a pride that you have for your neighborhood and for your town and for the place that you are born, or for the current city in which you live in. But that does not negate the fact that I am still a human being at the end of the day, and that I deserve the same amount of respect on the floor and off the floor. Don't look at me as a deity on the floor and look at me as some, you know, so amazing. But then when I speak up about things that I think are wrong, and I'm not a person that is inflammatory or a person that has had a bunch of issues with the law. And even if you have had a bunch of issues with the law, the point of the law and the point of jail and probation and all of that stuff is to punish for rehabilitation. Am I right or wrong? So yeah, even if you're an NBA player that has had legal issues in the past, you can still voice your opinion if it is of something that is constructive criticism and something that is adding to the embetterment of people's lives and to the embetterment of society, right? The point of you going to jail or having probation or parole or whatever all that is and being absolved of all of that is so that way you can have paid for your crimes, right? So even when you see guys like Steven Jackson, I've seen a lot of people on Twitter be like, well, who is he to say? It's like, it doesn't matter about what he did before. It's about this particular instance and this cause and what he has done after his actions and how he's grown as a person. So when Doc says this, and even when he says, you know, you always hear a black athlete in a store can't get service, but then they can. But then the minute they get recognized, the employees always want to give them service. Yes, you want to know why? Because the minute that we walk into stores or I walk into a store, there's somebody in the back room that's watching the camera. It's like, yo, look at that guy. And there's somebody behind the camera that's looking at me sideways and being like, who is that? But also, even when you look at a lot of athletes, NBA athletes, yeah, like they're big and tall, but a lot of athletes aren't humongous. Football players aren't huge people.
Yeah.
When they wear regular clothes, they look like regular people because they're regular people.
And NFL players especially too, like you never see a clear shot of an NFL player's face. There's a helmet in the way.
Yeah, that's what I think is so interesting about like the NBA in particular, is that it's like so much more intimate than these other sports. I mean, like nobody has anything covering their face. You know, like all these athletes and figures are very prominent. So I just think it like further goes to drive that sort of racial divide. Like, I mean, you shouldn't, I don't know, like these people are most likely more recognizable than athletes in other sports just due to the intimacy of basketball in general.
Yeah. There's five guys on the floor. Like, you know, exactly the starting five. You can, you know, most people who follow a team could pick their starting five. Like if they saw them on the street, they would recognize them type thing. I think the craziest quote, I think the best quote in here is when he's like, when the uniform comes off, he's not as powerful. And then there's a quote too where
it's like a superhero, literally. Like I said, like we look at athletes, all of them, not just black athletes, but athletes in general, but specifically NBA players, because as you guys said, they are maskless. And versus baseball players, their sport doesn't celebrate fun. It doesn't celebrate
truly at all.
I as a kid, I would watch like 160 plus baseball games a year.
Yeah.
Huge Cub fan my whole life. Huge White Sox fan my whole life. Always, you know, enjoy the Rockies. Troy Tulowitzki. Enjoy Nomar Garciaparra. Enjoy watching the Dodgers back then. Enjoyed even watching the Angels with Mo Vaughn and all of that. So I love baseball, but it is a sport that does not celebrate fun. They only celebrate the statistical things and the actual play that is happening. So versus the NBA, they celebrate fun. That's why you see LeBron and all those guys being goofy and Steph being goofy. And you see Kawhi joking on the sidelines randomly. We're like, is that Kawhi joking? Because that's the culture that they celebrate during the game. So, yeah, when they take those uniforms off, you don't even get to see that same level of joy from them, because usually, you know, more times than not, they are trying to alienate themselves from media members. So they aren't even as outspoken when the uniform is off, because they don't want to have the burden of media members misconstruing what they're saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fantastic piece. Go check out the LA Times. I subscribed today. It's $1 for 4 weeks, which is great. Coming up after this, we got some things to talk about with Paul George and Michael Jordan, Woj bomb, and then Grant Napier being fired. But first, Will, I like books. But reading sometimes, I don't know. I don't want to do it. What can I do about that?
Buddy, do I have news for you. With Blinkist, you can get unlimited access to read or listen, which is the great part. You don't even have to read it. You can listen to the audiobook of a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA. Try Blinkist for free for 7 days. And if you end up liking it, you can save 25% on your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial. And you'll also save 25%, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA.
Okay, I'm all signed up for Blinkist.
We're well read.
Thank you very much. I'm well listened, actually. We're talking shavings. Paul George had some thoughts about playing with Michael Jordan. He said, you know what? I wouldn't have had a hard time with that. Very confidently. He said, I grew up with watching Kobe, right? I gained an appreciation with his will to win and his fieriness. Me being in Indiana, it's kind of what I wanted to be. I wanted to be an enforcer to let people know I wanted to win and win at all costs. So I admired watching MJ during his documentary. I would have loved to play with a guy like that. Agree? Disagree? Paul George and Michael Jordan.
This is no personal disrespect to him. So, PG, if you hear this, when you see me, you can say something to me. It's cool. I won't even trip. But he's a beta. And
he's a two.
No, and that's no disrespect. That's no disrespect. There's nothing wrong with being a great number two. He was a good number one when he was in Indiana. He was a solid number one when he was in OKC. But what we really saw was Russ was the real number one, and the fact that Russ was in such a shooting slump last year versus this year, it really affected him, especially once his labrums were torn. I'm sorry, I'm thinking of a WNBA player. She got two torn labrums, and she was playing, Alyssa Thomas.
He did have two shoulder surgeries, though.
Okay, yeah. So, and what do you want to play with Mike? Yeah, he want to play with Mike. What do you want to play with Kobe? Yeah, he want to play with Kobe. You want to know why? Because if they would have told him to shut up, he probably would have gone... Like, all right.
He would be peak number two on those teams.
He would be like, all right, Mike, funny as hell. Mike, he's funny as hell telling me to shut up.
But okay. Woj today, ESPN sources, as the NBA models a 22-team format for a July 31st resumption in Orlando, the proposed time frame for teams is the last possible date for NBA finals. Game 7, October 12th. I don't understand. Are they just planning it? Is it like a backwards thing?
So I wonder if I'm sure in the collective bargaining agreement that there are some sort of like rules or statutes on how much time must be allowed between the end of a season and either the preseason or the official start of another season. I think that you have to include that. I'm just saying this as intuition. Like I don't actually have the CBA in front of me. But I would
guess, working on it.
I would guess that if they expect to restart,
you can download it on the internet.
Yeah. For sure. But if they expect to restart the season in at the end of December, I mean, finals got to be over by mid-October. Like that, yeah. I think that checks to me.
I think the 22 format or the 22 team thing is interesting. I wish it was just the playoff teams. I kind of just wish they would just start the play. You know what I mean? Because like, who are the Clippers going to play at that time?
I'm mad. I'm mad as hell because Bradley Beal going to sneak into the playoffs for no good reason. And I'm going to have to deal with Pavi sitting up here being like, see, I told you you made it third in the NBA team because they made the playoffs. And I'm like, that's not the real playoffs.
Well, are you going to put an asterisk against next year's champion because of the corona?
I'm putting an asterisk on everybody that said that their team made the playoffs.
That's fair.
If it's below, if it's in like that, like, not like the top four, though. What about seven to nine?
Unless you was the Lakers or the Bucks. All y'all got an asterisk because I don't know where you would have finished. I know where the Lakers and the Bucks would have finished. They would have finished number one. They would have.
But playoff.
I truly believe that. In terms of playoff seeding. So
no, that's
fair. If you're not the Lakers or the Bucks, you literally got lucky. Because even if you you got
the Clippers didn't get lucky, they were gonna make it no matter what.
Paul George had a messed up hammy. You know how long he'd been sitting at home, how much rest that hamstring got?
I mean, Lakers need to rest too.
Kawhi
can't play back to back anyway, is my argument.
Kawhi literally was talking after the finals last year, like, oh, I'm so ready to go home. I'm ready for the time off.
He was on pace to play more games this season than last season.
Exactly. So who you think coming back refreshed, gonna come back healthy?
Every team.
Gonna come back ready. Yeah, exactly. So unless you're the Lakers or the Bucks, which you both have the number one seed, everybody else, y'all got lucky. Y'all really got lucky.
About lucky.
You got lucky because even if you a team like the Clippers and they lock in the seeds right now, right? You're still going to play a much level of inferior team in the first round than you would have before. So you got lucky.
I think it would have been
the Mavs
either way. How do you figure?
You think that the Clippers would have, if the regular season continued its whole way, would have finished any lower than three? Like, I don't see it.
I don't even know if that's right. Yeah.
I think they would have finished second.
Are they going to be the three seed when it restarts, though?
No, they'll be two, but I think they could have finished the regular season at two as well. They've got more than a game and a half on the Denver Nuggets.
But we smoked
them in that series.
Yeah,
so, but like, I feel like rightfully
Portland gets lucky too because they might.
Yeah, but they're still gonna get. But that's not the point that I was making. The point I was making was they're still gonna play much more inferior competition than they would have played under normal circumstances. So every team that's not the Lakers or the Bucks, because the Lakers or the Bucks, they play well enough to already get the worst of the worst. That's how good they were for the entire season.
Yeah, especially
everybody else. Yeah, everybody else for the last 16, 18 games is playing for seeding and trying to make the playoffs. Now, all of a sudden, you get six extra teams in the playoffs and a two seed that if the Clippers are two seed right now.
That's why I want the 16. Yeah.
So if the Clippers are the two seed right now, you get to play an 11 seed versus before you would have played an eighth seed. So the level of competition that you're playing is much more inferior than what you would have played before. So that's what I'm saying.
They
didn't have to go through the entire, battle to get seeding because their record was so good and it stopped when it stopped. So if they just continue
that
and
makes say, more
hey,
sense.
We're just going to have like a first round playoff series where the Lakers and the Bucks get a bye because it'll be 11 teams in each bracket and we want two teams so we give them both a bye. And then they both get to play the winner of the lower bracket or whatever.
The play-in.
You know what I mean? Or the play-in game. They get
that makes more sense.
If you're the Clippers, you still got a break because you still might wind up – like somebody might play a play-in game and win. That's a trash team.
Yeah.
Like what Abby if the had Kings, the
same point. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Like what if the Kings win a play-in game? And now although the Kings have –
I would be terrified.
The Clippers
I was going to say, I don't even want to think about that. We're going to – Speaking of the Kings,
they give it a Kings work.
Yes, they have. De'Aaron Fox's mom texted him after he beat us and was like, "Oh, you finally got past it." Like that's how big of a deal it is for them too. Speaking of the Kings, Grant Napier was fired. He resigned in disgrace quietly. Boogie Cousins tweeted him asking simply what he thought of Black Lives Matter. He quote tweeted it and said, "All lives matter. Napier has a history of absolutely hating Boogie. He referred to him as a dark cloud over the franchise after he was traded." Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, what else are you going to do if you're the Kings? This was crazy. Boogie Cousins also coming, sniping somebody out on social media, which was crazy.
He's had a lot of downtime.
Well, like Grant Napier is like
also don't
horrible.
Got a team right now. So
yeah,
that is true. Yeah,
but also, I don't want to hit into that All Lives Matter shit. Especially not from a team.
Especially from Grant. Have you ever listened to Grant Napier?
I don't want to hear from any team, but still. No, I haven't listened to Grant Napier, but I'm sure he probably sounds like that.
Yeah, he sounds like the horrible Redenbacher like guy looks.
Fox yeah. Moves to the rim. Bagley the third.
That about wraps it up for this episode of Locked On Clips. TPJ, thank you so much for joining us. Where can these people find you?
You can find me online at Real TPJ. That's RealTPJ. It's a film joke. If you don't get it, you dummy. And as always, if you are looking to start a podcast, I have a service that I own. It's a platform as well, helping new podcasters start their podcast. It's called TPJ TV. Check it out. Affordable packages, and you don't need all that extra equipment and stuff to make it happen. And it comes with video skins for all you people out there that really want nice and cool looking videos. Thank you, guys.
There you go. TPJ helping everybody out in every kind of content. Thursday's episode, we're going to be talking any updates on practice that we get. Hopefully something happens between now and then with some fun off the court Clippers content and whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. You can find Locked On Clips on iTunes, Spotify, Deezer. Will, should they leave reviews if they go to these places?
They absolutely should. Leave a rating or review. It helps us out. We really appreciate it.
We really appreciate it. I have been Positive Chuck Locklear.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.